Okay, once again, Romans chapter 1. We begin last week to look at the wrath of God. In verse 17 and verse 18, we see mention is made of the righteousness of God and the wrath of God. Both, of course, are offensive to most, because the righteousness of God shows that they do not meet God's standard, shows that there is a standard, and people don't like that. The wrath of God, of course, shows that we are accountable to the Lord. Wrath is one of the attributes of God. We looked last week at, made mention of several of the attributes of God. When we consider the wrath of God, and it's not something that we hear a lot about, but there are some important truths that we must remember when we consider the wrath of God. We have to consider mainly two other attributes. And I believe all the attributes of God, all the characteristics of God, we have to consider these two. God is sovereign. God is holy. He's sovereign in everything he does. He's holy in everything he does. No one attribute does away with God's sovereignty, God's holiness. So no matter what attribute we're considering, and we're considering the wrath of God, we must consider it within the realm of that fact that God is sovereign. That is, he's above and he's overall. He possesses all dominion. He is superior. And in all of his attributes, he is sovereign. What that means is God is God. God has a right. It is God's right. It is God's right to display his wrath. That's the right of God. Sovereignty means that none can defeat his counsels, none can thwart his purposes, none can overthrow his will. Sovereignty characterizes the whole being of God. It shows us that God is sovereign in the exercise of all his attributes. Now, most do not have any problem with God is love. That is an attribute of God. They don't have any problem with that. But when you speak of God's anger, God's wrath, now they have a problem. God is sovereign. God is sovereign in whom he loves. God is sovereign when he displays his wrath upon whomever he displays his wrath. The truth is, we all deserve the wrath of God. And the truth is, it's his right to pour out his wrath wherever he pleases, on whomever he pleases, whenever he pleases. He governs all. Therefore, he can do just as he pleases. Beware of any, again, you take sovereignty and holiness. Sovereignty and holiness. And then whatever other attribute you want to consider, consider it in the light of sovereignty and holiness. And whatever in any degree diminishes or undermines the sovereignty of God, it cannot be true. there is error. If we get to thinking about an attribute and it begins to undermine the sovereignty of God, we are thinking erroneously. So that's a good measurement. When you're studying the characteristics of God, keep in mind God is sovereign. Any attribute that undermines that, you're looking at it incorrectly. Any doctrine that undermines the sovereignty of God, you're looking at it incorrectly. No matter what attribute is under consideration, God is holy. That is, God is perfect. Wrath is not a flaw in God. God has no flaws. You and I can display wrath and be in sin in doing so. Not so with God, because God is holy. And every time God displays his wrath, he does so in holiness. And I would go as far as to say he does so because he is holy. He's perfectly pure, even when he displays his wrath. You mean that when God sent the flood, killed all those people, that he was pure in doing so? Absolutely. You have a real problem if you think that he wasn't. You've denied God. He was sinless. He was righteous. You know, people will say, "Oh, I don't understand how God could." You need to get that thought out of your mind completely. Whatever God does, he does so out of purity, he does so out of righteousness, and he's just. God, when he destroyed the world with the flood, he was just in doing so. God, when he sent fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah, killed all those people, he was just in doing so. So you take the attributes of anger. A lot of people would like to think that God is not capable of anger. They need to read their Bibles. Anger is an attribute of God. Hatred is an attribute of God. The Bible teaches that God possesses hatred. Well, how could a loving God be hateful? Because he's sovereign. He's holy. Whatever he does is sovereign. Whatever he does is holy. There's a fine line between love and hatred. There really is. And I don't think you can possess love without possessing hatred. If you love God, what Brother Charlie was just speaking about, then you hate sin. You love a child, you hate that which is going to destroy that child. Where there's love, there's also hate. It's no different with God. So you have the attributes of his anger, his hatred, you have his wrath, which to me is the display. Wrath to me is the display of his anger. It is the outward display of his anger. We shouldn't struggle with these things, and I don't think anybody here does, but the religious world sure does. So the anger and the hatred of God are exercised in sovereignty. They are exercised in holiness. They are not blots in the character of God. So again, we want to look at this wrath of God. The Bible has more to say about God's wrath than most people realize. The fact of the wrath of God is stated there in Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God. For the wrath of God. very important word in that statement is the preposition of. The wrath of God. That little word speaks of the fact that this wrath is a characteristic of God. It is the wrath of God. That means it is a distinctive quality of God. The little word of means that it's something that belongs to God. The wrath of God. Wrath belongs to God. That little preposition of expresses that there is a relationship between wrath and God. The religious world would like to think that those are two completely separate things. But the very word wrath of God shows that there is a relationship between wrath and God. Now we're going to look at a bunch of verses. In the next couple of weeks, all of these verses will have the word wrath referring to God in them. And what it does is it reminds us that God is a God of wrath. Cannot be denied. But it also shows us some truths concerning this wrath of God. First of all, just take that statement, the wrath of God. The wrath of God. It occurs throughout the Word of God. Notice in Psalm 78, Psalm 78, verse 31. The wrath of God, the wrath of God. Well, perhaps God has wrath, but he keeps that to himself. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Again, I believe the wrath, the very word wrath, shows that he doesn't keep it to himself. It's a display of his anger. The wrath of God came upon them. And it did so, God sent it by his sovereignty. The wrath of God came upon them and slew, killed. So we see the wrath of God can kill. John chapter 3, verse 36. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not, that would be the unsaved, believeth not the Son, shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him, the one who believes not. He is under the wrath of God. And that wrath is displayed in various ways. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things, vain words, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now again, if there's disobedience, there has to be a standard, and God is the standard, God's righteousness. And the wrath of God is revealed against disobedience. Colossians chapter 3, verse 6. For which things, going back to verse 5, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. There it is again, the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, his anger. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And you see that term, the wrath of God. You see it several times in the book of Revelation. We also read of the wrath of the Lord. The wrath of the Lord. The wrath of Jehovah. And you'll notice in all of these verses that sometimes this wrath is displayed against his own people. Sometimes it's displayed against lost man. God has the right to, once again, pour his wrath upon whomever he pleases. And he's correct in doing so. Numbers chapter 11, verse 33. Notice the phrase, the wrath of the Lord. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. So wrath is something that can be kindled. And we see as a result, the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. God still does the same thing. Not every disease comes as a result of the wrath of God. But many do. Not every bad thing happens as the direct result of the wrath of God. Job, of course, would be an example. But many bad things do happen because of the wrath of God. The wrath of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 13. Again, we're looking at that phrase, the wrath of the Lord. About midway through that verse, for great is the wrath of the Lord. And notice again, it's kindled. That is kindled against us because our fathers. So you can experience the wrath of God due to a sin of your fathers, past generations. So, well, that's not fair. Be careful. God's sovereign. God's holy. God's sovereign, God's holy. And as I've said before, you better be thankful that God isn't fair. Because if God was fair, none of us would have a chance. None of us. Kindled against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that is written, which is concerning us. So the wrath of God can be delayed, if you will, due to the sins of past generations. Second Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 12. When he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him. God in his sovereignty has the right to send his wrath. He has the right to pull it back as well, that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah, things went well. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 8. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble. Trouble can be because of the wrath of the Lord. Not necessarily. Just every time you get into trouble doesn't mean it's the wrath of God. It could simply be a trial to test you. It could be a trial to teach you. And it could be the wrath of the Lord. And notice in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 26, we read toward the end of the verse, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Even when the wrath of the Lord cometh not, we deserve it. We deserve it. So how thankful we ought to be when the wrath of the Lord cometh not. You think of a nation under the wrath of God. You think of the United States. And there's no doubt in my mind, none, that this nation is under the wrath of God. Romans 1 will prove that. And it's taken a long time to get to where we are. God could have poured his wrath down at the beginning. And we were deserving of such at the very beginning. Wherever you see the wrath of God, long suffering precedes it. There's a lot that's gone on before you get to the wrath of the Lord being poured down upon us. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. Goes without saying that God's wrath is against whoever the object of that wrath is. But notice what it says. The wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. So you get to a point where there is no remedy for God's wrath. And I believe that there is a line for every individual, for every nation. You cross that line, there's no remedy. And what that simply means is you're not coming back. You're not coming back. God has a right to do that. I believe that's where we are as a nation. And that's why I think people have seriously miscalculated when they think, well, all we have to do is vote different people in. You don't understand the wrath of the Lord. And I do believe that we've come to the point where there is no remedy. It's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. And I know that upsets people, but you'd have a hard time convincing me otherwise. Amen. In Psalm 106, in verse 40, Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. That's quite a statement, talking about his own people. Insomuch that he abhorred. We've run out of time, but there's other verses where you read that phrase, the wrath of the Lord. And we want to continue with that thought next week. Again, realize it's a lot of verses, but I believe it proves a point. All through the Scriptures, we read of the wrath of God. All through the Scriptures, we're reminded that God is a God of wrath. Yes, He is a God of love. He is also a God of wrath. And He is sovereign and He is holy in His love, and He is sovereign and He is holy in His wrath as well. Let's look to the Lord. More to prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, how your word reveals yourself. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to grasp the great truths concerning your person. We do thank you, Lord, that you are a God of love, God of grace, a God of mercy. Lord, we also thank you that because you are a holy God, that you are a God of wrath as well. We pray now, Lord, that you'd help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.